Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Today we have Stefan Esselin, Chief Executive for Asia at Oricon, joining me on the phone to discuss climate adaptation. Now, Oricon is an engineering design and advisory company. Stefan, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Clarissa. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've been in Asia for over two decades, and I'm going to assume that in that time, you've seen a change in the attitudes around Asia from the average man to governments on the issue surrounding climate change.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, my first stint in Asia was Saigon South, which is a 2,400-hectare, 1 million city built today in Ho Chi Minh City. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the number one issue was flooding. So the whole work was to how to protect the city from flooding. Then I moved to Indonesia, and we work on forest fire and also large-scale flooding. So I think Asia is has been impacted by extreme events, and they've come a long way to plan city nowadays that will mitigate some of these problems that we have that are only getting worse with climate change.
You think that the issue of climate change over, say, the last 20 years, I mean, the governments might have been aware of it. They certainly were talking about it at international level, at intergovernmental level. But the average man on the street was probably a little bit slow on to come to the realization that, first and foremost, we had to do something about it. And second of all, that as individuals, we could do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair to say, and I think nobody can not be aware that, temperature is rising. I think yesterday we recorded 56 degrees or about in California, highest temperature on record on the planet. I think sea level rise for places like Singapore is real, and we need to, going forward, design today what will be important tomorrow. And at Oricon, we call that future ready. Nowadays, companies and governments cannot ignore that. And I think everybody sees that changes are happening.
Right. Could you explain the evolution from climate change awareness to now what we're talking about, which is implementing climate adaptation strategies?
Well, I think that the focus has been a lot on controlling emission, reducing carbon footprint, which largely involves moving from fossil fuel to a different kind of energy. Mm-hmm. That is extremely important and needs to continue. We are making building more efficient, but I think it's inevitable that as we plan city, we need to design them so that in 50 years from now, they won't be underwater. And if you take Singapore, the airport, for example, will be raised to elevation above sea level, protecting the island, reducing eight island effect by putting infrastructure on the ground. These are all things that people are seeing and will continue and needs to happen.
You brought up using, I suppose, greener, cleaner fuel. Alternative fuel sources, solar and wind power, etc. How much of that is viable for Singapore?
Well, actually, Singapore is very forward-thinking. They've, with university and EDF, looked at microgrid, and we worked on it at Oricon, which is basically how to use these various sources of renewable solar, wind, waste to energy, and how could that be adapted to island nations on a micro scale? So, how to use microgrids to adapt to their source of energy is the future and will definitely be viable at some scale.
We're speaking with Stefan Esselin, Chief Executive for Asia at Oricon. Do you think enough thought has been placed on the cost benefit of climate adaptation? Because you are in Asia, and I'm sure after two decades, you would have noticed it comes down to what's it going to cost versus what is it going to return?
Yeah. And on that, a lot of work has been done. And you could just look at extreme events, weather events around the world to see the cost benefit. I mean, the general calculation from the Global Commission on Adaptation is a dollar spent equal $4 in saving in future disaster impact. So it is good business. It is good business to plan today to be future-proof tomorrow. And you could be typhoon-prone or you can be typhoon-proof, and this is what you need to do. And there's plenty of examples of that around the world.
Could you paint a picture for us? You know, explain it to us in terms that we might understand, since we're not experts like you, but we want to understand what it means for us, because ultimately, if a government implements it, the individuals will be looking at it from the point of view of how much is this going to cost me through my taxes?
If it doesn't cost you through your taxes today, it will cost you through your taxes four times more as you go forward. And just take, for example, Hurricane Sandy that hit the east coast of New York. Mm-hmm. And we're still fixing that 15 years later. I mean, the coastal protection was not in place. And nowadays, you have to look into that. So there's not building on the coast. You could accommodate and move to higher ground. You can defend your coastal area, or you can attack the problem, which is Singapore has been proposing with the new funding to look at climate change over the next 100 years and how to protect the island from various disasters.
What kind of infrastructure and future planning are we talking about? Maybe bring it back to Singapore for us to understand. With this climate adaptation, we realize that it is important. But again, it is an area that the average person we don't really have our minds wrapped around it. We don't get it, is what I'm saying.
We teach these things now in universities. We do forecasting and digital tools and model to predict what flooding will look like mm-hmm. in places like Singapore. So I think the average person understand, maybe not the fundamental of it, but they are aware of the issue. So I think it's very important for people to get involved in the various public hearings or reviews of projects to see how the world will make a better place, clearly in Singapore with what's coming on the next decade, for example, in terms of planning of the city.
In the terms of planning the city, how much of it needs to change in the case of infrastructure with our future planning? Are we going to see the buildings looking differently? Are we going to be seeing solar panels across all our reservoirs? What can we expect in the future?
Well, a solar panel are going on reservoir as of recently. We were just talking. Mm. Infrastructure are planned to go more and more underground as we retain open space for parks. That will reduce heat island effect. Of the 15 cities in the world at most risk and most impact of climate change, 11 are in Asia, and that is flooding, coastal and river, but as well raising temperature, what makes some of these places very difficult to live. So, yeah, Singapore is definitely looking into that. And there's you just see where we were in 96, first time I landed, where we are today. And you can see it's a world-class city. It's an example everybody talks about. So I'm fully confident we will have the opportunity to work on that. As Oricon and as every private company is out there, there's a lot we can contribute.
We're speaking to Stefan Esselin, Chief Executive for Asia at Oricon Hong Kong. Vietnam, which was your first destination in Asia, I think you said, and Singapore are adapting to be more climate resilient. Could you narrow the focus for us? Singapore, what, in your opinion, can be done to drive our country's climate change and climate adaptation agenda, and what can be done to bring the average Singaporean along for the ride so we all buy in? Because I think we all need to.
If you look at the National Climate Change Secretariat and all the dialogue that goes when projects go to approval, I think if the average person get interested, read about it, get involved in the planning and review, that's a good start. That's how it started, honestly, with environmental regulation in the U.S., which was at the forefront of it, particularly mm-hmm. in California. So it is going to be driven by people demanding better place to live, clean environment, clean air, clean water. We didn't have that 20 years. We have it now. So we can have in 10 years more future-ready or climate-resilient infrastructure in place.
This future, though, that you're talking about does involve us trying to use less, for example, air conditioning. So you're asking us to change the way we get comfortable at home, for example. And I see that as something that might be a bit of a challenge. I know that I shouldn't be using my air conditioning as much. I know I should probably not have my air conditioning at its coolest setting. I know this, but at the same time, it makes me comfortable. How do you change that kind of a mindset over time?
Well, building might be designed. I mean, the existing building is one issue, but future building may be designed to be more natural air cooling.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the source of energy from fossil fuel to renewable, when we talk about microgrid, how various sources of energy can be used to power the buildings will make a big difference. So, at the end of the day, it's a modern city, and it is getting hotter. By reducing heat island effect, as I talked about, if we put more infrastructure on the ground, less pavement, less heat island effect, more park, that helps also make the environment more bearable. But, for buildings, clearly, I don't think we're going away from air conditioning in Singapore tomorrow.
Well, maybe not tomorrow.
Maybe never.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. Like you said, with new building design, maybe we can, not use it as much. But today, tomorrow, what can we do as the average man on the street to support our national climate resilience policy, do you think? What advice do you have for us?
Get involved, get interested, read about it, talk to your children about it. The profession I'm in has an opportunity. We're very fortunate to be involved and make a difference. So I think if everybody is aware and talk about it and demand it and debate it and look at projects, it's a very good place to start. Because it's not just about us, it's the generation right behind us that will make a big difference.
Because we're the custodians of the planet for them, aren't we?
Yeah, they will be long here after ever many of us. So we have a responsibility to look into it. And it doesn't have to be regulated. It's just the right thing to do.
We've been speaking with Stefan Esselin, Chief Executive for Asia at Oricon, on The Soul of Business. Stefan, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you very much, Clarissa. Anytime.
I'm Clarissa Montero for The Soul of Business. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.